definite plan for my life, and he's got a very definite plan for every one of you. There are no exceptions. He's got a plan for you, for Geraldine, for Doc, for Alan. There are no exceptions. And even if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, he's got a plan for your life. And if you do know Christ, he's got a plan for your life, and it's real, and it's genuine, and it's the same for all men. Now, God deals differently with us, but to tell you the truth, there's one plan he has for all people. Now, I began several Sundays ago by talking about what is God's will for your life. First, that you be born of the Spirit. Why? So you can receive the Spirit which is of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 12, he says, "Now we have received," Paul referring to himself, those to whom he was writing, those people who were saved or born again. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." He said, we don't have the spirit of the world. That's not what we received. He said, we received the Spirit which is of God. Why did he receive it? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's why John, myself, Kenneth, Harold, all the teachers in this church, everyone, is constantly exhorting children of God to know the things which are freely given to us of God, because that's the plan in his life after you get saved. John did an excellent devotional this morning, preaching on the inner working of Christ in us, and that is the Spirit that we have received. We have the spirit of the world that continually tries to influence us through our flesh. See, we were born of the flesh and born into this world. And our body is made of the same things that everything you see in this room is made of. It's made of all the things on a periodic chemistry chart. You look at all the elements of the earth, that's what our body is made of. So we have a spiritual conflict that continually goes on inside us. Now he goes on down in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You cannot contain the spiritual knowledge that God has. And God gives it to you in bits and pieces out of his word. Now, the things that Paul and the others had received were things that they wrote about. And in their writings, in this book we call the New Testament, they gave us these comparisons. And you want to be able to compare spiritual things with spiritual things? Well, first you have to be born again. First you have to trust Christ. First you have to be saved. And when that happens, then you can take the word that Paul and the others wrote, and you can compare spiritual things with spiritual things by the leadership of the same Spirit that led them to write that, so you could understand what spiritual things were. But the natural man, that's the spirit of the world. That's the carnal man. That's the way you were when you came into this world, totally depraved, cut off from God, separated from God, no connection with God, degenerate, and loving only yourself. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What's God's will for every person that they be saved, born again? What's God's will for every person after that? That they take this word that he gave them. They now have his Spirit inside. And so now they can look at that book. They can study it. They can understand spiritual things. And they can compare things in the world with other things and say, this is spiritual, this isn't spiritual, this is of the world, this is not of the world. But if you don't study the book, if you don't let God's Spirit lead you in the book, you will develop your own little ideas about what's spiritual and what isn't. The book is spiritual. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. People that lay out of church pretty soon get an idea of what's right and wrong is. They get an idea of what's good and what's bad. But it doesn't match God's word. Something's wrong. What's wrong? The individual does not stay in the word. You've got to stay in the word to understand spiritual things after you're saved, because that's what God gave it for, so we could compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So in John 3 and 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You were born of the flesh. You don't understand spiritual things at the time you're born. But when you're born again, when you trust Jesus, then you're born of the Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To understand spiritual things, you have to be born again. But even after you've been born again, if you don't get in the Word, and you're not interested in the Word, you don't have a curiosity about it, you don't want to know what it says, you don't want to apply it to your life, you're not curious about what God's Spirit has to say to you, then you're cutting yourself off from your life source. You're cutting yourself off from the wisdom of God. You can't compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And you'll think that this is okay, and God says no. But you've developed your own little ideas about it because you don't stay in the Word, and you get the wrong impression and wrong idea between your thinking and God's thinking. We are to adjust to God's thinking. We are to forsake our own thinking, and we are to learn what's right and wrong, what's good and bad from God's Word. That's why you ought to stay in church. That's why you ought to be here when God presents the opportunity for you to hear His Word, for His Word to be taught. This devotional John gave this morning was outstanding. Everyone needed to be here to hear it because it compares spiritual things with spiritual things and helps you better to understand yourself. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You came into this Word born of corruptible seed. How was it corrupted? By Adam's sin, which was passed on to his son, to his son, to his son, to his son. And when you were born physically, you were born of a corruptible seed, a seed that decays, a seed that rots, a seed that has no eternal life and no future except this brief life. But when you were born again by the Word of God, you were born of an incorruptible seed, a spiritual seed that lasts forever, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. So in 1 Peter 1:23, he says, being born again by the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, why am I talking about this? For this reason. This is John 3 and 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath is a present indicative active. It means when you believe, you have God's Spirit forever, and He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And he that believeth not. All right, who is the unbeliever? He is the one who's never received the Spirit. Can he understand spiritual life? Can he understand spiritual things? Can he compare spiritual things with spiritual? Does he have the ability to discern what God's way of thinking is? Can he take what God thinks and apply it to his life and learn what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong? No, he cannot. And he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life. Why can't he see life? Why can't he comprehend it? Why can't he understand the purpose of it? Because he is born of the flesh, he does not have the Spirit of God, and he cannot understand life. And I'll also tell you this. Someone who is born again and doesn't stay in church and doesn't study this book and doesn't want to know what it says and doesn't want to understand it and doesn't want to apply it to their lives, even though they're saved, they will not see the purpose that God saved them for, and they will also not see life as it should be. They have life and they're going to heaven, but they never do really understand God's way of thinking. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It stays on him. He never is born again, never does see Christ, never does understand. So, you know, John James used to get up in the pulpit, and John James used to say, I think anybody don't get saved stupid. Of course, now he's got all kind of awards, you know, and he would say rather reservedly, well, I would say that it would be very difficult for me to understand appropriately why someone might not receive Christ as their personal Savior. John had changed it around. But when we knew the real John, he thought that algebra was a country in North Africa. And he used to say that he thought everybody was stupid that didn't receive the Lord. After you've been saved for a long time, truth of the matter is, you come to understand who saved you. Why do you do it? Because you got in the Word. And you can't understand why somebody who's lost can't see life and can't see the purpose of it. It's because they cannot spiritually discern it, and you can understand it only because of the gift of God. Notice again, in John 3 and 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except. Here's a carnal man. He's been born of the flesh. But he cannot spiritually discern anything. He cannot understand the Word of God. It's all Greek to him. You want to understand the Word of God? You're lost? You don't know whether you're saved or lost? Make an Italian charge. That's the only way you're going to get saved. In World War II, the Italians were great lovers, but they were terrible fighters. And this was an Italian charge. You've got to come to God with an Italian charge. I mean, I surrender. And I don't mean I surrender my life, Lord, I'm going to be faithful forever, and I'll always do what you want. No, no, no. You come with a charge and saying, Lord, help me, help, don't shoot, Lord, help me. And you come with an attitude of only God can help you. That's an Italian charge. The only reason I can see the kingdom of God is because I came with an Italian charge when I was 12 years old, when the Spirit convicted me of my sins. Now I see the kingdom of God. I'm learning about the kingdom of God. I'm comprehending the things of the kingdom of God, and I am growing toward maturity. Not that I have already understood. I don't. But I am learning, and I have the capacity to learn because Christ is in me. If you don't have Christ in you, this is all Greek. What do you need to do? Make an Italian charge and come to the Lord as a sinner, born of a woman but not born of God, and just trust Jesus to save you and come in you and begin to change you. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. If God's Holy Spirit begins to convict you, you can. And when he begins to convict you, that's your chance. That's when he opens up your heart, allows you to exercise faith, allows you to come and says, now, come on. And if you keep shutting that heart, and you keep shutting that life, and you keep shutting him out, sooner or later your heart's going to harden and there won't be a door there for you to open anymore. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, we talked about this at length. We talked about what the new birth is. Preached it on Sunday morning for a long time. Then we went in God's reasons for saving us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Now, you weren't saved by the works of the flesh, and you can't stay saved by the works of the flesh. You were saved by the Spirit, and your salvation is maintained by the Spirit. It's done by the power of God. What we're doing is comparing carnal man with spiritual man. That's what John did in his devotional this morning. I really liked it. And it has to do with the battle that goes on every day in our lives. All right, what's God's will? John talked about in Colossians 1:28 and 29 that we grow to maturity, to perfection, but not really perfection of sinlessness, but blamelessness. John talked about us becoming mature in the faith, that you grow in the Spirit. Now, this is why you ought to come to church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Aha! Now, here is God's will for every born-again child, for every saved person. You got spots. You got wrinkles. You got lots of things wrong with you, Alan Kennedy. And Sister Barnes, as much as I love you, you got things wrong with you. And I've got things wrong with me, and every one of you that know Christ as your Savior, you've got spiritual, you've got physical, carnal problems. You say, not me, then you're a Pharisee and a hypocrite and a liar. We all have problems. That's what John was talking about this morning. John was putting it across very clearly that there's a battle that goes on in our lives. So what's the problem? The problem is this. You're saved, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, but you've got spots, you've got wrinkles, and you've got lots of other things that you're letting the flesh influence you with. It's your outer garment that's the problem. It's not the inner being. Your soul's been saved and sealed. But there's a battle that rages between that spirit and your soul and the flesh on the outside, and it is a jim dandy. As John pointed out this morning, the 7th chapter of Romans, going from Colossians 2, 1, 28, 29. Wrote them all down. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful exercise. There's three different things that God expects me to do as a preacher. Three things he expects John to do, and three things that he expects Kenneth to do. We need to warn. Well, I'm warning you. You better get born again. You better be saved. Are you going to hell? That's the warning. Then the next thing John talked about was teaching. You better take the teaching. It won't send you to hell. But if you don't take the teaching, you don't let God straighten out your life, you don't come to church, you don't listen to the Word, you don't study the Word, you don't get the Word, then you're going to end up at the judgment seat of Christ. And all those things in your life, spots, wrinkles, the things that were wrong, where you didn't match up to God's thinking, you're going to have to answer for. So wake up before it's too late. First you warn them, God's Spirit saves them. Then after they get saved as a preacher, you tell them what God's got to say about their life, and you look at your own life and examine your own life and see if you're doing those things. Pretty hard to preach them if you're not making an effort. And then the last thing you do as a pastor or preacher is to present them. You present them before the Lord. Oh, I'm not going to be up there at the judgment seat taking down the aisle before it. But it is my responsibility to teach you so that at the judgment seat of Christ, those spots, those wrinkles, or any such thing will have been removed in your outer garment, and you will have them under control. You can't live above sin, but by the grace of God, you can learn to control it better. You got a bad temper? That's a spot. You got fleshly lusts all the time that you can't control? That's a spot. You got a jealous bone in you that you continually are jealous of other people? That's a wrinkle. you got any such thing, you got hate, you got envy, you got jealousy, you got malice, you've got any of those things, friend, those things are wrong. And the Word of God clearly tells you they're wrong. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? Okay. That he might sanctify and cleanse the washing of water by the Word. When you get convicted of it by God's Word, and the Spirit hits you in the heart, he says, you better get that under control. You say, well, Lordy mercy, Brother Michael Murray, I've tried, and I just keep being jealous. I just keep losing my temper. Listen, you're going to do that all your life. But the thing is, are you going to put up a fight? You don't have to lose your temper as much as you do. You don't have to be envious. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to have malice. It's going to keep coming back. But when it comes back, confess the sin, get right with God, and you'll discover that time after time, pretty soon, you're not having to run to God with that same sin over and over again because it's decreasing. God's Spirit is ironing out the wrinkles and the spots and the things in your outer garment. That's what the washing of your outer garment is for. That's what preaching is for. That's why you're here this morning. In many of our churches this morning, they're preaching salvation by grace, security of the believer, and Jesus is coming. And praise God for that. But if that's all a church ever hears, that's all they're ever taught, that's all they're ever told, then that church doesn't get the full counsel of God, and the members are carnal and snarly and run a pastor off every 2 years. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God wanted us to change. God wanted us to get right with him day after day after day by confessing our sins. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now notice, we went through all this. We talked about that last Sunday. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you want your life to match up with the mind of Christ and what the Lord teaches, get in this book, stay in this book, listen to this book, and this book says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Get in church, stay in church, that's what this book teaches. And in church, if you've got a church that preaches and teaches the Word, and you've got preachers in that church, and you've got teachers in that church that actually teach the Word, the washing of water by the Word, then God can help you. You three boys are growing up. It's a hard life. We've all been there. Now, I think all three of you made professions of faith. Look, I understand you. And in those classes back there, when they're trying to teach you, I tell you what's in their mind and heart. It's just you. They love you. They genuinely love you. And they're trying to take God's Word. And they're trying to get you to see in your own life all the problems that are there. You see, when we were young, some of us, we didn't have teachers to teach us that. And we didn't know a lot of this until we got up pretty nice size age. You boys have a wonderful advantage. You don't know what an advantage you have. You have an opportunity as born-again children of God to receive the things of God because you're saved. So treat these teachers nice. Oh, they expect you to be snarly once in a while. But don't just go out of your way to be mean. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. You say, Brother Michael Murray, did you say that because you've been getting reports? No, Charlie, I haven't getting reports of Norma. They've been just typical Russell, typical Michael. They're typical, no problem. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's how the washing of the water works. I'm a newborn babe. I can desire the sincere milk of the Word. The sincere milk of the Word is the mind of Christ. In the Old Testament, Christ was manifested as the angel of God. Can anyone here possibly, in any way, suggest that what I'm about to say is wrong? This is the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. Now, Paul said we have the mind of Christ. You know all this stuff you're looking at on the screen? Who do you think wrote that through them? The Spirit of Christ. This is the mind of Christ, and it's complete. You've got the Old Testament, that you've got the New Testament. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Hey, I can't instruct God. But you know what? God's instructed me. He's put a whole book down here. He said, Tom, this is the way you're supposed to be. Now, Tom, that's the way I am. I've given you my son to show you how he performed it. Now, he's in you, Tom. Why don't you let him do it again? Why don't you let him live his life over again in you? Why don't you start forsaking those things that by my Spirit I told you through the writers of the New Testament what you should do? I have the mind of Christ. I have Christ living inside me. Now the question is, am I going to let the Spirit of Christ in me operate, or am I going to let this natural man continue to dominate my life? Yeah, there's a battle, and it's going to be a battle between the flesh and the Spirit till the day you draw your last breath. But you need to put on the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God is found in this book. And when you go through that New Testament and you really want to know what God wants out of your life, and you really want your life to count for something spiritual while you're here, then you'll finally wake up and say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. You'll say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I've tried that, but I failed. I understand. I fail daily. But if you drop out of church, if you lose interest, if you don't keep coming back to God, you'll never understand this battle. You'll never understand why you were placed here. You'll never understand the purpose of life. Because you've got to understand spiritual things from God's Word in order to see life. You see life when you're born again. You receive it. But you don't continue to understand life unless you stay in the Word. Because even though I'm a child of God, if I let the flesh dominate my life, if I give in to all the different things and temptations of life, then I'm saved. I have the Spirit in me, but I've told Him to stand over in one corner while I live my own life. And later on, I'll see Him at the judgment seat of Christ. And then, my friend, I'll be in serious trouble. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of a mind did he have? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Do you know his Spirit's living inside you if you're saved? Do you know this is the same man who went to the cross for you? Do you know this is the way he thought, but made himself of no reputation? Here was a man who had every reason to be haughty and arrogant because of the power and the might that he had. All wise, all knowing, all powerful. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, a doulos, a bondservant to his father. And was made in the likeness of men, God incarnate in human flesh, reconciling the world to himself. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. What does the mind of Christ want to do in us? I mean, what's he want? He saved us. What's his purpose? What's his plan? What's God's plan for your life? It wants to teach our spiritual mind so that we may grow up spiritually before our Heavenly Father. The more we grow up spiritually, the better equipped we are to be about his business. John, you remember the time you got saved? How much did you know spiritually? Nothing. Thank God I don't have to go to hell. When you got saved, Charlie, you didn't know any of this. I'm not going to tell them about Abraham's bosom, Mike. When you first get saved, you don't know anything. Whew, I don't have to go to hell. And then Thelma was in a false church, and they taught her a bunch of stuff that wasn't true. But Thelma, by the grace of God, had one thing going for her. She really did want to do what God wants. And believe it or not, her being here is no accident. It wants to teach our spiritual mind so that we may grow up spiritually before our Heavenly Father. The more we grow up spiritually, the better equipped we are to do about his business. That's why the washing of water by this word, that's why this word was given. You need to grow up. When you were born into this world, did you know what one and one was? Goodness gracious, you didn't know your own name till somebody taught you. You didn't know zip. So how did you learn anything? You got it out of books, didn't you? People taught you, didn't they? That's how you grow up physically. Well, how on earth do you expect to grow up spiritually? You've got to get it out of this book. And the book is the basis and foundation for all teaching. And I've got some wonderful news for you. School books have to continually be revised. You have got to revise school books at least once every 3 years because we keep making new discoveries. But here's the one who made all things, and it has never had to be revised, never will have to be revised. Now, I want you to think about this. It's been over 2,000 years since the cross. And that New Testament is just as valid with no mistakes and no incorrect predictions all the way down to now. What do you want? You've got a perfect book to teach you. You have imperfect teachers. But you have a perfect Spirit of Christ indwelling them, and if they'll follow the Spirit, when they see they've made a mistake, they'll admit it and say, I was wrong about this Scripture. They won't hoard it up and try to make themselves look like they're geniuses or something. They'll just admit to you they were wrong. Luke 2:40-42. What does God want from you? Well, what did he want from his son? His son was a bondservant to him. Luke 2:40-52. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's God wants the same thing for you. He wants you to grow up as a newborn babe. He wants you to let him wash your outer garment with this word. He wants you to strengthen your inner man with this word. He wants you to grow up spiritually. He wants you to become a spiritual man. Spiritual man comes to church. Spiritual man gives to the church. Spiritual man works in the church. Spiritual man cares for the church. Spiritual man prays for the church. Spiritual man tries to help the pastor. Spiritual man loves the other members. Spiritual man tries to take care of the things that have to do with God's work. How did he get there? God taught him out of this book. God told him out of this book. Why do you think she's sitting here? She was born just as carnal as a snake. So was I. She was born just as carnal as a snake. So was I. They're here because that book taught them, and they listened. And when they listened, they came. And they didn't work something else into their busy schedule. And here they are sitting here. And Christ has grown up in them. They try to pray for people in the church. They try to help the church. They try to do the things of the church. When you put other things in the world ahead of the church, and things outside of the body of Christ become more important to you than the church, how can you expect to grow up if you do not yield to the Spirit and will of Almighty God, which is revealed in His Word? Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, took a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Stop for just a second. Who was this man, God incarnate? The wisest man on the face of this earth at that moment in time was Jesus Christ. He taught the doctors. He taught the lawyers. He taught them in the temple. Here is God incarnate in human flesh. But at the same time, there's a man there. A perfect man. The second Adam. Conceived in a virgin's womb without sin, not having received the sin nature of Adam. And here he is with all the knowledge in the universe. Sometimes, I'm not picking on you fellas this morning. It's true with everybody. But sometimes when you grow up, you think your parents are real icky. You think, you know, yeah, they don't understand. And you think as you grow up that they're kind of icky and they just don't understand the modern scene. And if they were out there among your contemporaries, they'd understand all about it. Here's a man who knew a million times more than both his parents. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they, Mary and Joseph, saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrow. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Here's the living Son of God, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Here is the spirit of a man. Here is a man inside. A living spirit, a soul of a man, Christ Jesus, conceived without sin, the second Adam, and thank God, the last Adam. He is responding to his Father's will, this man, Christ Jesus. The Son of God in all His fullness is responding to the Father, knowing these things. What He said was absolutely correct. He said, Wist ye not that I be about my Father's business? Listen, this man had a role to accomplish, and his Father's business was important. But I want you to notice something. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto. A couple of plain, ordinary people from a little town in Nazareth. And here is the Son of God with all this wisdom and knowledge, and a couple of, if you will pardon expression, by modern day vernaculars, and I say this reverently, a couple of real hicks. A mom and dad that didn't know zip. But I want you to notice what this son did. Remember his father's commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon this earth. Look at what he did. And he went down to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all his sayings in heart. Why did he do it? His father gave the commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, thy days may be long upon this earth. So here's a man, young man, that had a knew all the world, knew everything. And yet he was subjected to his mother and father. He had to obey every jot and tittle of the law, and he did. So when your mother and father express a concern for you, and they're trying to help you, you know what God tells you to do? He tells you to be subject to them. He tells you to obey them. Now, they're not going to ask you to rob a bank, but I'm going to tell you something. Every parent that I know in this church loves his children, and they want the very best for their children, and they pray for their children. You don't know how our heart agonizes. You don't know what we go through. We don't want to see you make the same mistakes that we did. And you say, well, look, Brother McElmurray, you know, with those seven children, sometimes you were wrong. I know. But look, here's a child that knew everything. And here's somebody set the example for you. If he was subject to his mother and his father, they didn't understand. You ought to be subjected to your mother and father, and you ought to love them, thank God for them. And when they won't let you do something, don't sew up like an old turnip in a corner. Do it, and do it because God told you in His Word to do it, and then you'll be growing up. The water will be washing you. The spot will be moved. God will be ironing your outer garment, and you'll be getting your life cleaned up so that people can see what's inside come on the outside. And Jesus increased in stature and wisdom and favor with God. Well, here's the good news. I'm about ready to close. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Well, John, when you and I got saved, and Charlie Ellis and Charlie Holloman and Kenneth and all of you here that made professions of faith, when we got saved, we didn't know it. We didn't know anything. We had the spirit of the world, but what we received was the spirit which is of God. And Giles McVeigh and Alan Kennedy and Jerry McGee, Geraldine, listen, we all know something. God gave us that spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's why church is here, so we can know those things. Every one of you is capable of it. I'm capable of it. As we begin to study God's Word and we know the things that are freely given to us of God, then we begin to see the reason for cleaning up our lives. God wants us to be judged by His Son, and He doesn't want to find us wanting. He doesn't want to find that we've been contentious, contrary, lose our temper, mean, snarly. He wants those wrinkles on the outside to be ironed out. He wants those spots to be removed by the washing of water by the Word. He wants anything else in our life that's not right to be changed. And that's why churches need to preach what 95% of the gospel is about, living for Christ after you get saved. For who have known the mind of Christ that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then we come on down into the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, 12, 16, then all of a sudden from verse 16 we jump right over into chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I want to tell you something before the Lord, and I want to personally bow and thank God for it. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this church and for Your Word that has affected their hearts. Lord, thank You for letting me do these trips. And thank You for, Lord, letting me see churches that have, so that by Your grace I can appreciate this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We've got our ups and downs, and we're carnal as a bunch of snakes in the flesh. But you don't know what you've got here. This church has been affected by the Word of God. But if we get off guard, and we let the devil get in our flesh, and we let the devil run our lives, then the spiritual things that we've learned can be cast aside. This church at Corinth was full of babes in Christ. They were spiritual dwarfs. They weren't doing what God wanted. And this is the last verse. Here's what happens in a church where all they ever hear is salvation by grace, secure the believer in Jesus is coming. And they never are brought face to face with themselves so they can see life and God's purpose in their life. He said, for I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. I'm going to tell you what meat is by telling you what milk is. Salvation by grace, secure the believer, and Jesus is coming. Friend, that's magnificent stuff. But that's milk. Here's meat. When you begin to look in your own heart and your own life, and you let God's Word examine your life as His child, and you see these characteristics in your life, and you don't rise up and cry out to God and study His Word and try to gain control of the flesh, you'll end up in a church just like this. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? I thank God for the spiritual growth I've seen in your lives. Now, I certainly don't want to give you the impression that we've gone on to perfection. We've all got plenty of problems in our lives. And the purpose of this message is to make us see more and more what those problems are, to thank God for what we've got, and to continue in a struggle against our flesh by the washing of water by the Word. Now this morning, in closing, I simply want to say this. Have you ever really come to Jesus just trusting Jesus to save you and come to live in you. It's His presence in me that protects me from everlasting damnation in hell. John this morning indicated it was our responsibility to warn. That's the warning. Now, have you received the warning? Have you come to Christ trusting Him and Him alone to save you? Then what comes next? Well, teaching. That's what you've got this morning. What comes next? The judgment seat of Christ. And when you stand there before the judgment seat of Christ, if you haven't followed the principles of what 95% of the Bible is about, letting the Lord change your outer man to conform to the inner man by the power of His Spirit, you've missed the whole point of why the Lord saved you. This morning, I don't know the need in your life. If you need to be saved, you come trusting Jesus, and He'll take care of everything. If your life hadn't been what it should, or if you're sitting there and you're saved and you've never been baptized, do I have to tell you that Jesus wants you to come to be baptized? You've known it for a long time. So get up and come on if you're saved and submit to baptism. And if you're saved and baptized and your attendance is hit and miss whenever you feel like it, wake up and realize you're never going to get those wrinkles and spots or any such thing out of your life until you finally start coming to get all that God has to say and not just those little parts you like. As the song leader comes, pianist, musical accompanist come, and as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's Word, and brother, I've preached it to you this morning, and you need to listen to it. And you don't just need to listen to it, you need to take some action on it. Now, whatever's wrong in your life, whatever's wrong in your heart, come on this morning and get it settled with God, and you won't have to take it out of here and carry it with you anymore. Just come on, and the Lord will take care of all the rest. What number, John?
378.
Please stand. 378. 378.